Originality.
You.
Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go. All right, we are rolling. What's cooking, good lookins? This is Nick Singh, and we are back with another episode. I am literally at an airport right now. I'm heading on a family trip to Europe. First time in Europe. I'm kind of excited about it, but I really didn't want to miss this week's episode. So I'm coming at you folks with something unique. So while the sound quality here might get frequently interrupted by folks passing by and also announcements happening at the airport, I can solemnly tell you that this episode is a story that you will never hear me repeat, because not only is it embarrassing, but there's a huge teaching point in it that I think is valuable for people beyond myself. So that's why I'm sharing it. Let's rewind back to 2017. I am in San Francisco, California at an event called HustleCon, and I'm doing the interviews backstage. And one of the people that I was privileged enough to interview that day goes by the name of Tom Biliow. And Tom is an absolute gangster. He founded a unique company called Quest Nutrition that scaled into a $1 billion nutrition company, which is incredibly difficult to do. But beyond that, he's wise beyond his years. And the way he speaks life into others is just so inspiring and so unique. I highly suggest you check him out. I've actually released that episode since then, so it's going to be neat for you folks, if you haven't listened to it, to listen back on that after you hear the story as to what happened before that episode, because it was really weird. So I saw him walking in hours earlier, and I just shook his hand. I said, I'm going to be interviewing you later. My name is Nick. And he said, cool, it's nice to meet you. I remember maybe about an hour after that, we're taking a bit of a break, and I was just walking in the aisles, and everybody at the conference was out for lunch. So Tom just happened to be sitting there. No one was bothering him. The entire crowd wasn't even in the actual theater. So he was there with his team. Someone was filming him. His assistant was there checking emails, and he was doing the same. So I tap him on the shoulder politely, and I said, hey, Tom, you know, I might as well get some verbiage in with you before the interview, because the interview is going to be kind of formal. I have a set of questions. This would be a good chance for me to ask some personal questions. Is it okay if I sit down? And he just goes, yeah, sure. I didn't quite say it like that, but the first thing I said is, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting any work. I just really want to have a chat with you. And he goes, well, you are interrupting the work, but it's okay. You can stay. And already I was thrown off, because I thought, okay, well, I didn't expect him to call me out on me actually interrupting his work, but that's fine. Anyways, we're getting to talk, and he interrupts me at one point, and he goes, Nick, do you mind if I mention something? And by the way he said that, you can tell automatically that whatever he was about to say after that was going to be hard to hear. And I mean, what are you supposed to say in that scenario? I said, sure. And he goes, you know, you're slick, but you're a little too slick. And I like leaned back. I was like, I'm slick, but I'm a little too slick. Why the fuck is this guy speaking in riddles, man? What the hell does this mean? And I said, what? And he repeats himself. He goes, Nick, you're slick, but you're a little too slick. And I'm like, Tom, I feel like you're trying to teach me something here, and I'm happy to learn it, but I really am not picking up what you're putting down. So you're going to have to unpack that one for me. And he goes, you know, when we first met you and you introduced yourself to me and my assistant, you were lovely and very kind and very forthcoming and very honest. But I felt this little tinge, and I could be wrong, that you had something that you wanted to prove while you were introducing yourself to us. And I said, shit, I think I kind of did. But I was saying all that in my head. I was just letting him speak. He goes, I want you to know that, you know, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to overcompensate so much and be perfect and be so fly with your words. Like, we were just talking to you, man, and it seemed like almost robotic at some points. Your responses back were fucking amazing, but like, they were almost too amazing. It was like you had planned them in advance, or you're really trying to overly impress us. And from where I come from, that doesn't exactly work out too well. And I'm sugarcoating a lot of this for you. If you haven't met Tom, or if you haven't heard of him, or if you haven't experienced him, he is one of the kindest people, most humble people I've ever met, but he's also very direct, and he does it in one of the most mature and wise ways I've ever seen. So all of this was coming at me in a very mature and wise way, but it wasn't sugarcoated, and I wasn't expecting it. So I remember having this kind of awkward conversation with him about this for about 10 minutes. It had nothing to do with what I'd originally sat down with him for. And once the conversation ended, I kind of felt a little strange about sticking around and just talking to him about the things that I want to talk to him about. So I got up, and I want to make an incredibly important note here. I don't think of Tom as a bad person for doing what he did. I actually couldn't thank him enough. So I don't want anyone to walk away from this thinking, oh, what a dick. Why did Tom have to do that to Nick? Because the truth is that he was right. And he taught me a lesson I've never forgot as long as I've lived. And I remember after that little conversation, I had to just go outside and take a breath of fresh air and just actually think about what he said, because I had like half a day worth of interviews left to conduct, and Tom was one of them. So I had to find a way to tone back this slickness. First, I had to understand what he was really trying to tell me. And what I got from it was exactly what I mentioned before, that I was trying to overcompensate a little bit too much in certain areas with folks because I really wanted them to like me. And I was doing it unconsciously to a point where I just came across as very well spoken. And I'm not tooting my own horn by saying that. I'm saying I was too well spoken. I've had the unique privilege and experience in my life, I should say, of being called a salesman. and I've never appreciated that compliment as well as it was probably coming from kind-hearted people and people who meant well. But the reason I never appreciated it is because the way that they always said it to me was in a way where I knew that they were implying, you know, you're a little bit of a schneister. And while they were probably right, even though I don't like to admit it, I can tell you wholeheartedly that it didn't feel good to hear, and it didn't feel good to know in my heart that I think that they were right. And since that day in 2017, I remember dialing it back so hard on the whole salesmanship stuff and being so perfect and just starting to get a lot more raw with folks as to how things really were. I wasn't afraid to give people one-word answers or to, in some cases, actually push back a little bit. And to this day, I work on this, but if you're anything like me where you might be slick and you think people might not notice or you think it might actually be what people want, I can tell you that since I made this shift, I've noticed a drastic increase in connection, raw connection with others, and I would hope the same can happen for you. And I'd also encourage you that if you're not slick, maybe to get slick, no, I'm just kidding, but maybe to just share with your friends around you if they're doing the same thing, because that day in my life was a day in my life that my life changed. And I remember thinking about this stuff outside, and I sat down with Tom and I conducted the interview a few hours later. I felt like this weight had been lifted off my shoulders because I didn't have to be any type of way anymore. And after the interview, Tom and his assistant gave me this incredible compliment, and they shook my hand and they said, "Can we get your information? Because we really want to have access to this interview. This was one of the best interviews we've seen Tom do." And to this day, I don't take full credit for that. I think that Tom is an incredible person when it comes to answering questions and understanding what's really being asked. So he has more to do with that than what I can even say, and HustleCon and the whole team that was there helped me out was beyond a part of that experience. But I'll be damned if I didn't say that I was actually a part of it too. And I think that what allowed me to be in that space emotionally and mentally and spiritually with Tom during that moment and during that interview was his conversation a few hours earlier, where I could just take that weight off my shoulders, be myself, do my thing, and have a great chat. So that is the behind the scenes story of my unique experience with Tom Bilyeu. And I got rocked, I got pushed a little bit, but I stood the fuck back up, and I can tell you I'm much better because of it. So that is the little solo segment for you folks today to bite on and enjoy. I love y'all. Thank you for listening. I'll catch y'all soon. Peace.